knows Bescheid.
Okay, so welcome to the second episode of the Claptrap Podcast. It's a podcast about my brother Don and I trying to put together 5 minutes of stand-up, which we'll perform at an open mic night at the end of the series.
Two men, one podcast, minimal listeners, on a journey of self-discovery. Podcast where comedy and cultural critique collide.
Hi, you're flagging, flagging. We're going to the flagging.
Focusing on what matters most.
Don's gone to the toilet, and it was almost as though he was in there with Farlap. It was loud and long, and it was very confronting.
Mum and Dad would always enter the room just in that 7 seconds of nudity. It'd be a 90-minute movie with 7 seconds of boob, but they'll just hit that window. Like, it's just
ridiculous. Unbelievable. The point when your mum smacked you and it didn't hurt was like the best day of your life. Because you just stand there going, give it your best shot, mum. You got nothing. I haven't seen your penis since we were three. But your ass is still very large.
Now their moment of truth has arrived. Welcome to the final episode of Claptrap.
Claptrap.
Empty. The tomb.
Welcome to the very final episode of Claptrap. I'm here with Don. How are you going, Don?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited.
Excited. We've done it. We've had our moment of truth. Look at this. This is just building the anticipation beautifully. Yeah. Or not. I don't know. So today we are going to play the sets that we performed live in Canberra and Melbourne during the week. And we're going to talk a little bit about how it went. But first, though, just for tradition's sake, Don, any amusing thoughts during the week?
Well, amusing or just thoughts. I've just got some thoughts.
Thoughts? What are they?
Yeah, just general thoughts. Well, one of them. Oh, I've only got one. Have you shopped at Aldi before?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, how high pressure is going through their checkout?
Oh.
That is intense. I get panic attacks before I go through there because I'm like pumping myself up like I'm about to take the footy field. You got to be on the ball. You got to know where your wallet is. You got to have your bag ready because they're not going to stop for you. I have nightmares about it.
I always end up turning to Tamara and going, I can't talk now. I've got to get this in the bag.
I just have like, shut up. I need to get this ready.
But because the checkout person is sitting down, it's like it's the contrast. Like they couldn't be more chilled. They're just flinging them through from a seat.
Yeah, they don't care. That's a sweet deal for a checkout person. Yeah, yeah. And it's like they're trying to do it fast just so you're in trouble. Like, what are you going to do now? Where's your bag now? Getting it, it's building up. They're toppling over. You're trying to still pack and pay at the same time. It's rough.
You end up getting your credit card out with a can of beans under your arm and like a bottle of wine between your legs and you're like, here you go, sir.
I end up putting my credit card in the bag and try and pay with a bottle of beans. You don't take beans? Oh, okay. Anyway, that's...
Oh, that's good.
I have nightmares about going to Aldi. I have second think even... I know it's cheap, but you're paying for it with your sanity, I think.
Yeah, you've got to be mentally prepared before you walk into Aldi.
That's yeah, you've got to be together.
That's quite good. Okay, but we are padding. We are padding.
We are just avoiding the inevitable.
Okay, so for those listening in for the first time, remember, you got to go back to episode one. This has been building. This is episode six, the final episode. We started trying to come up with some seeds. We workshopped the set, and now we've just performed it. So we're going to listen to the sets today and hear how it went. So we're going to get right into it. Don, you performed on Tuesday night in Canberra. I want you to talk me through the lead up. What was the evening like leading up to your set? How were you feeling? What did you have for dinner? How many beers did you have? Talk me through it.
I had no beers.
Bold.
I got to go in fresh.
He's a clean skin.
Yeah, I definitely did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it at the front bar in Larnham, and, you know, it wasn't very full. And to me, because I've done a couple of comedy a few times, an empty room is just an absolute killer. So I went up and I put my name down, and so I specifically asked to be in the middle of the evening.
So hang on, so you walked in and there was no one there when you first got there?
Only a few people.
And you went, I need to go in the middle, and you actually, like, asked for that?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, you know, because if you're too late in the evening, the crowd gets tired, like, they get cold. They just get sick of listening to comedy and laughing at people that aren't particularly good at what they do.
Yep.
But if you're too early and you got a couple of funny people, or people that aren't funny, then it's also cold. So I reckon if you're somewhere in the middle, people have had a couple of drinks, they're not sick of listening to comedy, I reckon that's ideal.
Yep. And did they respect that? Did they put you then?
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Mm. Must Credit have your them. Reputation
didn't help
from
me much, but
2004 must have stayed with them.
Well.
And so before you got on, how nervous were you?
In a scale out of 10, 10 being the most nervous, 0 being not nervous at all.
Yep.
Maybe a 3 or 4.
Whoa. Iceman.
What were you?
I was a 9.
Oh, really? You were really nervous.
I was really nervous. Like, I went with a couple of mates and I was, like, getting really kind of paranoid about, we've got to eat somewhere near the venue, you're eating too slow, like, we've got to get there. I was quite nervous. So you're pretty much confident going onto it.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wasn't confident.
3 out of 10.
Yeah, I know, but I'm an idiot. I was pretty sure that I was, like, I practiced it, you know, in the car to work and back, and I messed it up every single time, at least once.
Right.
Like, I'd just have this moment of, like, blank mind. It was quite, you know, on the drive to work, it's quite serene. But when you've got a microphone in your hand, it's a worry.
Because that's what surprised me was how bright the light is in your face.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's actually, you can't really, depending on the venue, you don't necessarily see everyone particularly well.
I could see maybe the front row. And a bit of the second row, and I couldn't see anything else. Like, that really caught me by surprise.
Yeah. And sometimes it's good not to see them, and sometimes it's good to see them. I could see everyone in this venue.
It's quite a small venue, isn't it? So they would have been quite packed in there.
It's like a lounge room. So they just pack the seats in, and it was fairly full by the end.
Okay, so
once they heard Dean Martin was on the bill, they rushed in.
It's like when you see those old cricket games where people are standing in trees opposite the stadium.
Bradman's betting.
They're standing on the grandstand. Okay, so long story short, how do you think you went?
Yeah, I'd say I was pretty happy with it, to be honest, all in all.
Out of 10?
Out of 10 for an open micer, or just for me, or for, like, compared to a professional, or just crowd response? What do you mean?
I can do it on, I guess, that how happy with you with your performance for yourself?
Yeah, maybe like a 7 out of 10.
And how happy were you with how it was received by the audience?
7 out of 10.
You've split these apart for no reason whatsoever. And how happy are you compared to a professional comedian?
7 out of 10.
You idiot.
Yeah.
Highlights, lowlights. Oh, should we actually listen to it? Should we listen to it, or do you want
to? Yeah, no, let's listen to it. Let's just get it out of the way.
Let's give it a listen. Let's cut to the tape.
Hey, Don. If you notice, there's a lot of people putting fake grass on their front lawns these days. It's a bit of a weird thing, I think. It's kind of like the gardening version of a toupee. Like, it's a bit strange, but I can understand why people do it. Because, you know, I've got a big brown patch on my front lawn, and grass doesn't grow there, but I do have a bit of grass that grows around the side. So instead of putting fake lawn in, I've decided to just grow the grass on the side really long and then comb it over. It looks fantastic, so I was pretty happy with it. I went shopping recently. I had to get some toilet cleaner. And all the brands in the supermarket have these really full-on sort of descriptive names, like, you know, super mega maxi strength industrial grade toilet cleaner. And to me, I'm a little bit too embarrassed to buy that stuff, because to me, the strength of toilet cleaner you have is a direct indication of how much damage you're doing in the toilet. So, you know, I'm a simple man. All I want is something that says, you know, a completely normal strength toilet cleaner for a normal amount of damage done. That's too much to ask. What else am I talking about? Yeah, I used to live in Melbourne. I used to live in a pretty dodgy suburb. And I used to live next door to sort of known drug dealers. And they had a lot of dodgy people coming and going from the house. And I noticed that a lot of them were wearing baseball hats. I didn't understand why. It's a bit strange. But if you're paying attention, there are a lot of TV shows with drug dealers, lots of baseball hats pulled down so you can't see their face. And any other dodgy cities where there's sort of known drug activity, lots of baseball hats pulled down so you can't see their face. And I find it quite strange because, you know, this is a group of people who aren't really known for looking after themselves too much. You know, they do drugs, they might smoke more than the average person, they drink, they don't have a very good diet, but for some reason, that slip-slop flat message is really cut through in that demographic. Jono, before you go and buy that heroin, mate, no hat, no play, buddy. You know the rules, slip-slop flat, then smack. That's how we do it. I'm seeing a lot of signs on the side of the road, you know, police targeting, and one of them is speeding, you know, I understand how that works, or police targeting seatbelts, that's pretty self-explanatory. But police targeting fatigue, I'm not really sure how that works. The only thing I can think of is if, you know, they're pulling people over, dimming the headlights a little bit, maybe pulling out a thermos of milk and reading a bedtime story. You know, when you start nodding off, that's it, mate, you're in the clink. Off you go. Yeah. A lot of my friends are getting pregnant at the moment, and they've all downloaded this app on their phone, and sort of you punch in how many weeks pregnant you are, and that tells you how big the fetus is by sort of comparing it to a fruit or vegetable, which makes sense, I guess, but I can't help but wonder if the fruit and vegetable growers have the same app, but in reverse. So, do you know how your pumpkin's coming along? Yeah, good, mate, about the size of an 18-week-old fetus at the moment. Just a few more weeks and should be ready to cut them up and turn them into soup. sorry, guys. What's left? Oh, yeah, I'm doing some house renovations. And I'm struggling a little bit, to be honest, because every single measurement is in inches. And I don't even really know what an inch is. In fact, the only sort of knowledge I've got about inches, the only reference point is that the average penis is approximately 6 inches long. So, you know, I went to Bunnings the other day and the guy said I needed 20 inches or something. I had to imagine 3 erect penises and a tip just to have any answer. Needless to say, whenever I'm in Subway and I order a 6-inch meatball and sausage sub, it's confusing for me. I'm done. Thanks, guys.
I reckon that is bloody well done, D. I reckon that is a... It's an easy 7 out of 10 in my books. There was some solid laughs there.
Yep. Yeah, there was. It was pretty. They were a very friendly crowd. It helps.
But you could see the experience, your delivery.
I rushed it a little bit.
But you did. There's just this inflection and this little bit of space you give it that I reckon that's experience. That's very good. Some of the ones that got a bigger laugh than I thought were like the pregnancy app, the fruit and veg app, that got a much bigger laugh than I thought it was going to get.
Yeah, me too. I was really worried about the targeting fatigue and the pregnancy. I thought that was a big lull in the set, but people seemed to laugh at it. It was good.
Yeah. And it's almost as though the ones that we were really confident in, like the slip, stop, slap and the penis size, the inches imperial measurement, went less well than some of their lesser known jokes.
I thought the slip, slop, slap was okay. It was decent. The actual slip, slop, slap thing didn't get that big a laugh, but the no hat, no play did, which was surprising.
That is weird, yeah.
Because I was saving the slip, slop, slap, then smack. I'll save that up as the big grand finale finisher. Nah, it didn't really go anywhere. But then, yeah, but the biggest surprise, because I thought the best joke by far, and you must have as well, is the imperial measurement penis joke. And it was not particularly well received. It was good, but not amazing.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like, I think with the slip, slop, slab, like, the only criticism I had of your set was you probably just took a too long building to that. Like at one point when you're talking about the hats down, you kind of do like four or five different parallels for different groups that wear hats. And I'm like, yeah, that's just taking too long to get there. Did you feel that, or was that exactly how you wanted it to be?
I didn't feel it until you just told me then. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, maybe. I think because at that, yeah, I said the initial living next door to drug dealers, completely fictional. And what did I do? TV shows I did. I should have just stopped then. But then I made some poorly phrased thing about when I'm in different cities and it didn't really work.
Yeah.
You get the gist of it, but it didn't. It was poorly phrased and it was a bit off the cuff a little bit.
It was a little bit, it was very interesting how that didn't go down that well. Should we do my set?
Not that it didn't go down well.
Oh, no, it went down well. Right. Not as well as I would have thought, though.
Listen, you're talking about one of my children here, okay? I love them all equally.
Let's do my set and then we'll do like a big debrief across the board.
Yep.
One of the things that happened to me in the lead up, though, was the night before when I was practicing, I practiced to my wife, Tamara, and she was pretty strong around. She goes, no, it sounds like it's just too much. You're just going from seed to seed to seed and it's quite segmented and it's not really a natural flow.
Yeah.
So then at the last minute, I stayed up a little bit on the Monday night before rewriting it into a narrative where I had to reorder all of the jokes and create little narrative segues between them. So it became a story about me moving from Canberra to Melbourne and what the drive down was the police targeting fatigue and then looking for a house.
Oh, right. To be honest, I didn't even pick up on that.
Isn't that interesting?
Hang on, let's listen to it now so everyone knows what we're talking about, and then we'll pick it up.
Sounds good.
And please continue the round of applause, continue it up, and welcome to Luke Martin. Good evening, everyone. I moved from Canberra to Melbourne recently, and so a long drive down, and I got a little bit tired on the way. And I saw these signs on the side of the road saying, police targeting fatigue. And I kind of get how they target speeding or seatbelts, but what are they doing fatigue? Are they just kind of like peeking in to see if you're wearing pyjamas? Or are they kind of pulling you over, dimming your headlights, giving you a hot Milo, reading you a story, and you start to nod off? That's it, mate, you're in the clinic. You wouldn't want your first doctor to stand up to go any better than that. So when we got to Melbourne, we weren't really sure which suburb to live in. And Melbourne's tricky because the dodgy suburbs have the most inviting, beautiful sounding names. Like if someone said, oh, Luke, you should live in Sunshine, I would have thought, I bloody love Sunshine. I'm like, Luke, you should check out Broadmeadows. I'd have gone, oh, Broadmeadows? I'm just imagining pretty girls on roller skates cruising down a hill to serve me an ice cream. But the weird thing is, like, there's a pretty good suburb called Balaclava. Like, if that's not inviting general riffraff thing to call the mischief, I don't know what it is. But we ended up buying a house in the western suburbs. And the funny thing is, there's like a drug rehab centre just up the road. And I've noticed that the guys that are in the rehab centre are always wearing baseball caps. Like, all of them are wearing hats. And it's funny because these guys, you know, they're not looking after themselves. Like, they do drugs, they drink, they smoke, they don't eat well or exercise. But when it comes to hats, man, that slip-slop flat message is really getting through. The policy really should be, you know, slip-slop slap, then smack. But we ended up buying a house that was a bit run down. And, you know, a lot of the houses in the street are run down. And my neighbours are starting to renovate. And I've noticed that they're putting fake grass on their lawn, which is interesting because, like, fake grass is kind of like a toupee for your lawn. And I've decided I'm never going to use fake grass. My lawn is just a big dirt patch, but it does grow a little bit on the edges. So I've just let the edges grow really long and then combed it over to the centre. It looks fantastic, and no one can tell the difference. My brother visited recently. So, naturally, the first thing I did when he left was go to buy some toilet cleaning products. And I've noticed that the language they use to sell toilet cleaners is all, like, super, mega, maximum, power, strength cleaner.
they're going about it all wrong. Like, that just implies that you're causing such an embarrassing amount of damage to the bowl that you need an industrial-grade cleaner to sort it out. I mean, the language really should be totally normal strength for a normal amount of damage done. Went to the shops to get some underpants as well, and I realised it was the first time I've ever had to buy a pair of underpants, because my mum usually gets me a Rio 12-pack for Christmas that has me covered for the year. And it's trickier than I thought to buy underpants, you know, to pick the right size, because I've got a size large ass, but I've got a size small penis. I'm not really sure how that happened either. But I'm also really bad with imperial measurements, like inches and feet, because I grew up on metric, centimetres and metres. So I was in Bunnings looking to buy some shelving, and the bloke said, "Oh, mate, you need about 20 inches of that timber." And I have no frame of reference to how long or short that is, except for the knowledge that the average erect penis is 6 inches. So to figure out how long 20 inches is, I have to actually imagine 3 erect penises. It's obviously a very confronting experience every time I eat a 6-inch meatball sub. That is me done. Thank you very much.
Luke Martin, everybody. Did you say that was a great thing, man?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
First comment from me here.
Yep.
I don't think I can do stand-up.
No, you have been. And you know, what I forgot to mention you, because we have both heard these before.
Yeah.
Before this. But I was going to say, try and tone down the self-hatred a little bit.
No, it's not. It's not self-hatred. It's kind of like, it was just interesting because... Like, I don't think that went very well at all. Like, I think there was mild laughter and some polite chuckles and some things that just bombed. Like, I don't think I bombed for
this. No, I don't think anything bombed.
I don't think I bombed for the set, but there was definitely a few jokes that just...
What bombed?
Got
Which
nothing.
Ones?
The fatigue what? One? That...
I don't know. They laughed, didn't they?
There's a titter. But, yeah. Like, what was interesting was because there were lots of people on the night... There was like, because I didn't get on until about 10:40, so we sat through 2.5 hours of comedy before I got on, and the crowd was, I think...
See, quite, that is a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. 2.5 hours? The whole thing should not go for more than an hour and a half, I think. Like,
yeah, it was long, and it was late, and the crowd was quite flat, and I'm not at all blaming the crowd. Like, I think I just... but that was a factor in terms of they were flat. And because everyone else, to be honest, like there have been a couple of people that were really good and then lots of people that were really quite poor.
Yeah. This is open. That's welcome to open mics.
They were really bad.
Yeah.
I actually was getting a little bit confident going, I'm going to bloody smash this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got up and the first little joke around what do the police do when they're testing for fatigue, do they just peek in to see if you're wearing pyjamas? It literally got nothing. And I just went,
That's interesting because I actually dropped that pajama reference from my
I noticed
joke.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when
I don't know. I think what the biggest difference here is I thought your phrasing was pretty good. I phrase things a little bit different in some jokes to you. But overall, your delivery I thought was very good. It was better than mine in that you spoke at a good pace. You were clear. You seemed confident. You touched your face a lot. I don't know what that was about.
I get these weird nervous twitches where I rub my chest or I touch my face or I do this weird gesture with my hand.
You did that a lot.
I don't even know I'm doing it, so I can't stop it.
I thought you were hitting the cocaine before the set and now you're sort of just adjusting the nostril there a little bit.
Just did a 6-inch line of coke in the toilets on the way. But, like, it's really, like, I thought I was going to do better. And it was really interesting because when you, like, with your mates or in a work situation or, you know, you crack jokes and it's an easy crowd and you kind of get this, nah, like, I wasn't used to throwing a joke out there and it getting nothing.
Yeah,
that was a new experience. That was, a little bit humbling.
I think that's what I was about to say. The biggest factor, I thought, was that we both delivered, I thought, fairly similarly. They're both exactly the same jokes with slightly different phrasing.
Yeah.
The biggest difference was the crowd, whereas I did the gig at the perfect spot of the night. Everyone was there mostly, and the big factor is whether the majority of the crowd is comedians or not. I don't know, was it with you or...?
They were pretty much mostly comedians. There were about 30 people performed and the crowd was about 40 people. So they were mostly...
Yeah. So that's a massive factor. Whereas for me, there was a lot of people that were just Joe Blows. They were either friends of people performing. I reckon over half were just people, normal people that just came in. So comedians, I think, don't like our comedy. And this is, you know, when I bombed the set before this.
It reminded me of that.
They were all comedians and you... killed it compared to me. I literally had no laughs. It was brutal.
It was I did think of that night when I got down off stage and I was like, oh, this is similar to what Don went through.
Nah, nothing.
Nothing.
I would have killed for those laughs. The thing, no, because every joke you said got laughs. I think it was the fact that it was went for so long, the fact that there's majority were comedians in the crowd who, you know, comedians don't like our, you know, strange takes on the toilet paper and I don't know, whatever we did our dumb jokes on. Just stupid things, really.
But it's interesting.
They like biting, edgier sort of stuff.
Yeah. But to be, it's interesting though, because I thought that your delivery was more stand up delivery. Like, yeah. I think that was one of the interesting take homes for me was, like, I think I'm better in situations where I'm telling a story or giving a presentation on a topic and I sprinkle it with jokes. Like, I don't think I naturally have a... This is not a big deal. Like, I don't want to be a stand-up comedian, but I don't think I'm naturally not suited to that, whereas I think your delivery was much more... This is stand-up delivery. This is something that's familiar. You can see the jokes more easily and you have these little clearer points where there's, like, a bit of a little laughter spot. Whereas I was more telling a story.
Yeah, you're right. You sort of had this flow to it, which mine didn't have. Mine was very much set my jokes up so I literally smashed the punchline over the audience heads. You know, like this is, it's no doubt as to what the punchline is.
Yeah.
Whereas yours, like, and even the inflection in my voice changes when I'm delivering a punchline. Whereas you sort of, it flowed and the same joke was there, but it may not have had the same impact because of your almost storytelling kind of...
I think you're right. It's interesting because I kind of... Essentially, I wasn't telling a story, so I didn't have any of the engagement of a story, but I wasn't doing stand-up, so you didn't get the punchlines landing clearly. So I kind of mixed almost the worst of both worlds. And it was funny because at the end of the day and then the next day, I'm like, okay, that's out of the system. I've ticked the bucket list for doing stand-up.
Yeah,
and then as the days have gone on, there's a little me going, I just want to try it one more time and tweak it a bit.
Welcome. That's what happened when I got into it. It's like, yeah, that was good, but I think I can do better if I change these things. And then next thing you know, you're back there again next week.
It's funny because usually, and this is probably just the Martin way, or could just be the me way. Unless the first time you try something, you're a world expert level. It's like, I give up. That's gradually getting better. That sounds too distressing.
Yeah. And keep in mind, that was your first gig ever.
Yeah, first one ever.
So
yeah.
Like everyone's first time is not particularly good, to be honest. So yours was actually very good.
For a first time, I got to give myself a little bit of leeway. What's funny though is that...
Sounds like I'm talking you off the ledge a little bit. You did good. You're a good boy.
You did good, little Luke.
Come on, let's go get a hot chocolate.
You're about to just lean in and go, Luke, you are enough. That's
it. Yeah.
You know, the weird thing
I believe
is,
in
though,
you, man. I believe in you.
Tell you what though, the whole experience, how good are good comedians?
Oh, yeah, they're really good. Because the really good comedians can do, like, your style of delivery, like a story, but the jokes are so good that you don't need this sort of black and white, here's a bit, here's the punchline. They're just funny people and they have really good jokes.
Yeah, that's like, right. Yeah. I was kind of thinking it would almost be an interesting experiment if we knew a really good comedian to give them our jokes and as an experiment, get them to perform it and just to see what they did with it. That'd be really
interesting. Is this your little way of getting in touch with Celia Pacuala or whatever her name is? For those of you, I'm going to fill people in on this because I find it quite amusing. You have been chomping at the bit. Any opportunity to... Do you reckon we should interview Celia? What's it? How do you pronounce her last name?
I say Pacola.
Pacola.
She likes me calling her CPAC, but that's all right.
Whatever. every week. Do you reckon I should? I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to speak to her. Is you keep bringing it up.
At my kid's birthday the other day, I'm like, do you reckon Celia would like to come? Like, any excuse.
Yes.
Imagine C performing the set. That'd be great.
Oh, C. That's lovely. Seals.
Any other Jerry Springer style final thoughts or reflections on the experience?
Not really. I did notice that, like, 75% of the jokes we made were all from the first episode, so we should have just saved ourselves the trouble.
That is
and just
true.
Done two episodes.
That was one of the things, like, in hindsight, why did we pitch 10 jokes in episode one? We should have really sprinkled them across the series because we pretty much fell off the cliff after episode one.
We start making these lame legend or loser games.
Maybe our friends have something to say that could be time-filling.
And we badgered a few people just to try and get some jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like blood from stone.
So I reckon that's probably job done. Set out to write a
mission
set.
Mission accomplished?
Was it?
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Set out to write a set, workshop it, perform it, job done, in the can.
Done. It's a bit sad.
A little bit.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
It was very good. Thank you, everyone, for listening. So there'd really be no more of Claptrap unless we do a little special booster episode down the track, like a little bonus.
Like if you decide to go back up or something.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
There is a little bit in me that's thinking raw comedies in January, just one more crack in a format and do a little like a bonus episode, but... I don't know. Maybe
and we can try and think of some jokes in the meantime, make the set a bit stronger.
Yeah, yeah. See how we go there. But other than that, this is the end of Claptrap. Two final things before we go. One is just a cheeky plug for the podcast Thrill Me, which a couple of our mates run, Jared and Adam. It's about action and horror movies, but they're very entertaining guys. They kind of go back and do all your old favorites, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Arnie, Steven Seagal, any of those ones, and they talk about these films and review them in a very funny way. Well worth checking out. Get it through iTunes. Secondly, Don and I have decided to do a new show. We're putting Claptrap to bed and we're working
after the success of Claptrap.
People haven't been asking for it. Actually, no. I think one person mentioned it once in passing that you should do another show. And
that was actually me as well.
Okay, so we've actually put together a little promo for the show. We're raising the professional standards here.
Yeah, we've got a website on the go. I don't know who's going to go to the website. Who's going to go?
The analytics.
I need to go to this random podcast or website.
But here is the promo. And, yeah, keep an eye out for the name of the show is What's That About? So, here's a promo that explains it and keep an eye out for it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Hey, What's That About? Is a new podcast from us, the Martin Brothers. We're going to take a look at the topics and trends that kind of make you raise your eyebrow and ask, what's that all about? So what kind of questions are we going to be answering, Dom?
Well, why are adults now using colouring in books? What's that about?
Good question. Why do I always need to go to the toilet in a library?
That is a good question. That happens to me as well. Or why does toast always land buttered side down? Or the bigger question, what's making us drop pieces of toast so often? What's that about? It's actually got some pretty good grip, you know, with the crust and the grains and stuff.
You idiot. Why do some people say asked instead of asked?
That sounded German.
Achtung. What makes someone cool? Like, what are the factors that determine coolness?
Yeah, well, we better get a guest in for that one.
Why do men, as we get older, why do we lose all our friends? Like, why does that happen?
You can be in for that episode.
These are the kind of questions that we're going to be getting to the bottom of. Yeah, stay tuned. We'll be releasing it soon.
Claptrap. Empty. The terminal.